Hello and welcome back. It's Super Tuesday, March 15th, 2016, and you're listening to Politics Dancing Partner Podcast, the audio companion to my blog, hosted by the Naples Daily News. Politics Dancing Partner explores evolving legal trends, exciting legislation, hard-hitting political discussions, and meaningful legal news from across the nation. Gain new insights into Politics Dancing Partner, the law. It's make it or break it for Florida Senator Marco Rubio and Ohio Governor John Kasich. While Governor Kasich and Senator Rubio have both vowed to continue on to the convention, regardless of tonight's electoral outcome, questions will certainly be swirling around their respective campaigns. Mr. Kasich currently leads the GOP frontrunner in his state by about 5 points. Mr. Kasich also has a sizable general election advantage over Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. I know it must be extraordinary for you to hear the GOP primary candidates without Donald Trump's name being mentioned first. That's because I can think of only 3 policies that he has actually put forward, mostly involving walls, none of which are credible, and all likely to cripple our international relations and further divide our already polarized citizenry. One can only hope that the Trump campaign can be stopped at the convention. And I reject Texas Senator Ted Cruz's call for all candidates to unite behind him. And no, an election cannot be stolen from Mr. Trump if he fails to receive 1,273 votes, which are necessary for him to become nominated. That's not how democracy works. If he falls short, then he falls short. Particularly because he has scarcely received more than a plurality of the votes in each primary he has competed in. If anything, this election cycle has shown what a third of GOP voters, and perhaps crossover voters who were previously registered as Democrats, really care about. And the traditional Republican messages do not seem to be resonating with voters who appear to be fixated on the populist sentiments that are not too different from the nationalist and populist messages that swept across Western Europe in the past decade. I am confident that Senator Rubio, Governor Kasich, and even Senator Cruz would perform well on the stage with Hillary Clinton. As for Mr. Trump, I am wary of his approach to politics, and ultimately, what may in fact be his approach to governance. As for Senator Cruz, many Rockefeller Republicans, and I include myself in that category, are taken aback at Cruz's rhetoric about shrinking or even eliminating various federal government agencies. I would be curious to know how he plans to collect revenue from taxpayers without an IRS, or how he plans to convince Congress to pass such a measure. At the end of the day, the ticket Democrats fear the most is Kasich Rubio, and that's understandable. Now, Kasich is no moderate, and Rubio is very conservative. Yet voters seem to be fixated on the apparent litmus tests, immigration, Medicare, that those two candidates have failed to meet. Now turning to the Democratic Party. A couple of weeks ago, well-regarded economist, political commentator, and former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich announced the death of the Republican Party on his blog. Said Mr. Reich, "I'm writing to you today to announce the death of the Republican Party. It is no longer a living, vital, animate organization. It died in 2016, RIP. It has been replaced by warring tribes. I'm paraphrasing here, evangelicals, libertarians, market fundamentalists, corporate and Wall Street titans, billionaires, and working-class Trumpoids who love Donald." Now for me, it may be terribly cliché, but those in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. No one can argue that Mr. Reich is not a learned man whose opinions are backed by years of personal political experience. Yet his observations on this matter are nonetheless terribly misplaced. To say the GOP is dead is akin to declaring that the United States was dead at the height of the Civil War. This is what the Republican Party is currently experiencing, a civil war. This same civil war has been rocking the Democratic Party over the preceding decade, and a clear winner is starting to emerge, progressives. Need I remind the former secretary that the Democratic Party of today is one that wholly discounted Jim Webb as a viable candidate, that a moderate Democrat such as Joe Lieberman was forced out of his Senate seat and was subsequently re-elected as an independent. More importantly, would Mr. Reich deny that his party is fostering a primary battle for the title of the most progressive candidate? I advance that the Democratic primary is no different than the Republican primary. It is a battle over the party's soul. In the Democratic Party's case, a contest between a self-professed Democratic socialist and the living embodiment of the former Democratic establishment. I must wonder, which warring tribe would Mr. Reich place me in? I believe the universe started as a Big Bang, or some iteration thereof, but I also believe that a higher power exists. I believe that climate change is about as indisputable as the law of gravity, and that Richard Dawkins' The Selfish Gene is a genuinely plausible account of how humans evolved over the millennia. And much like the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, I believe that those views are not incompatible. I believe that the same fundamental constitutional liberty protecting an individual's right to keep and bear arms can extend to other private liberties. But those liberties are not necessarily limitless. Our founders and the drafters of the 14th Amendment understood the laudable boundaries of federalism. Let's neither pretend that our country is a confederacy, nor accost those who believe that absent law to the contrary, state sovereignty is generally sacrosanct. I believe that our free market economy system is the greatest advent in the history of self-governance. But reasonable regulations are both necessary and proper to keep that market truly free and competitive. I believe billionaires are neither immoral nor obligated to share the wealth with the populace, outside of reasonable taxation. Further, I do not believe that a flat tax or steeply progressive tax system are the only two options to satisfy reasonableness. Most importantly, I believe the assertion that wealth is a resource belonging to the nation is positively ludicrous. Wealth can, and does, freely change hands between citizens. Simply because those transactions do not satisfy Mr. Reich's apparent litmus test of uniform distribution does not require the exchange of wealth be placed within the providence of the government. In sum, I'm a Republican. Yes, I believe our party is a big tent. We cannot continue down this path of pathological alienation, be they members of our own party, the other party, the non-affiliated, or our union's general citizenry. All individuals are capable of holding more than one preordained set of opinions in their heads. Litmus tests are best saved for chemists, and I neither believe that we need to make America great again, nor that a political revolution is coming. The Republican Party is not dead. The Republican Party, much like our country, is simply having an internal struggle, a continuous debate that our founders anticipated and likely intended to occur. Why? In like manner, here both sides must part with some of their demands in order that they may join in some accommodating proposition. He had prepared one which he would read, that it might lie on the table for consideration. Benjamin Franklin, June 30th, 1787. Benjamin Franklin knew the value of compromise. In today's political climate, it doesn't matter if the Republican Party comes together again, if the country is still broken. Thank you for listening, and have a great Super Tuesday.